Welcome, and thank you for tuning in with us tonight. We want to just give out a special thanks to our Butterfly Evolution family, and that's to those of you who have been with us from the start. You just continue to tune in with us each and every Monday night. So I just wanted to stop, Deacon, I wanted to stop and just give a special thanks to you all. So much so, one of you called, I thought this was so funny, I'm not sure if I shared this with Tika, but we did not air last Monday, and we did share that on the previous show, but I got a call last Monday to say, you're not on tonight, and I'm like, no, we're not, but thank you for the reminder. So that just says a lot. It says that you are anticipating and wanting the word for renewing the mind and dying to live and just promoting change within your own lives. So just a special thanks to you all for that. Thank you for our first-time listeners. I do think we're going to have some first-timers tonight, so we appreciate you all just informing other people and directing them to the show. The numbers do indicate that we are tremendously growing, so I'm just amazed. I've started a little weekly thing rather than daily. Think I'm anticipating it too much, so I just started weekly just checking the numbers, and they are just continuing to grow. So we want to just thank you, thank you, thank you. Before going into tonight's show, want to remind myself to open up the chat line. If you are listening by way of online or by the internet, on the internet, remember you do have to be a registered follower of the show in order to submit a question or a comment. So you do have to be a registered follower. You can listen to the show, but you just can't send us anything to where we will get it. So you can either take the time to register tonight, right now, or if you find that you have something you want to share, just use the call-in number, which is 818-691-7406. Again, 818-691-7406, and you do have to select the number one in order for Tika and I to know that you are in queue and you want to speak. So that is the way to connect with us. Of course, we always remind you all about the trash cans, and that is, for those of you who have been with us for a while, you pretty much know about the trash can scenario, but I feel that this scenario is so appropriate for tonight's show, which is basically about habits. And we've asked the question in our postings, you know, what are you sowing when, as it relates to your habits? So the trash can scenario is basically, here on the Butterfly Evolution Show, we constantly encourage our listeners to move their trash can to a new location within the home and then to monitor how long or how many times, I guess, you return to that old location. And this is, again, to allow you into the world of habits, which is, again, tonight's topic. And while participating in this exercise, hopefully you all have, most of you, it is our hope that you will become aware, or you have become aware, of how the mind keeps record, seemingly without us even knowing, because we so often just go right back. If you do this, or have did this, you've noticed, I'm sure, that you just go back there out of habit. So we often react or move into an action sometimes without much thought. It being, you know, just becomes a habit. So the definition of habit, for the sake of tonight's show, is basically, in some words, I guess that means the same as habit, routine, custom, pattern, or tradition. And hopefully you all will remember the ham story that we did on the show some time ago. We referenced that example or that scenario. And when I read tradition being the same as a habit, it reminded me of that story. And basically, I'll just kind of go over that briefly. It's where this, don't know how true this is, but it makes sense. But basically, it's this, the spouse, husband, wanted to know or asked his wife, you know, why do you always cut the end of the ham? You know, why do you always cut it off? And she basically said, because my mother did it. And, you know, not a good answer for him. And so he asked her mom, his mother-in-law, and she basically said, because my mother did it. Going a bit further, only to find out it started because the person did not have a large enough cooking appliance to cook it in. They didn't have a large enough pot to ever accommodate the size of the ham, so they would make it fit, and so they would cut that piece off just so that they could cook it. But because no one had asked, no one had, you know, put any thought into why do we do this, it just became a tradition that continued on and on and on. So it is very important to recognize, acknowledge, and then determine what habits you are sowing or you are allowing into your life. So I just thought that was a good scenario because, again, it just, for whatever reason, my mind went right back to that. So basically, if we want success, we have to plant success seeds. No different, you know, if you wanted an orange tree, you wouldn't go out and plant apple seeds and expect to get an orange tree. So we have to determine what we want in our lives. And all of us hopefully certainly want success, but we have to, again, plant those seeds for success. Same with happiness. You know, everybody wants to be happy. We say this, but what do we do? What things do we incorporate in our lives to create that? More importantly, what do we eliminate from our life to be certain that we are working towards that, we are growing that seed that we planted? So that's what tonight's show is about. And we all know or have heard, we reap what we sow. So again, habits, what are you sowing or what are we sowing is tonight's topic. Let's start again, as I mentioned, you know, with the seeds, we have to plant what we want. But certainly all of us, again, want success, want happiness, peace, and other things. But the definition of what that means to us individually could differ from one to another. Basically, what we're saying here is that we really have to know who we are. And this is something that we have said over and over. Tika and I just continue to express self-awareness and knowing who you are, what you want. So the bottom line is we have to know who we are. What do we want out of our lives, and what habits are we sowing? Again, for habits, it's what routines we have, what customs we've allowed to set up or we've set up in our lives, what patterns are we following. And when I thought about the patterns, I came back to that verse, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. All of these distractions, we are allowing the world to dictate the habits that, if we even acknowledge that they are becoming a habit. So keep in mind as we move through the show, routines, customs, patterns, and tradition is the same as habits. And it keeps us, these things keep us from what we really want in life. And that's why, again, it is important to determine or to know who we are, where we are in our lives, and what habits we have incorporated in our lives. And I heard this just today, and it just really stuck with me. Winners always deal with the truth. And I want to say that again. Winners always deal with the truth. We must begin with our personal truth. Goes right back to self-awareness. And self-awareness enables us to stand apart and examine even the way we see ourselves. Because until we determine who we are and how we see ourselves, we won't really ever understand life and what we want and how other people see us. We'll just kind of, again, be conformed to whatever, to the patterns of this world, not really knowing where we are, who we are, what we want, not even what seeds we've planted. So we're just kind of grabbing from the air, if we're grabbing at all. So self-awareness enables us to stand apart and examine the way we see ourselves, which allows us to live life based upon what we want. Because then once you know who you are and what you want, you can move forward. You can plant those seeds. You can eliminate. You can process based upon that. So this continues to be a daily goal for me in my life, just about learning who I am. And I'm learning, Teek and I joke about this all the time, like the more we think we learn, the dumber we feel, so to speak. But that means we're growing. It's just we're growing into another area, into another level, a stepping stone rather than looking at it as we have not accomplished or we've not learned. We look at it as, wow, we're stepping into a whole new book or a whole new era of life. So just thought I'd throw that in. We just continually to say, boy, how far we've come, but that just shows us how much farther we have to go. And as I just stated, you know, this is a daily goal for me, self-awareness, and it allows me to work on the things, first to see the things I need to change and then to work on them. And also how I guess I've allowed my habits and how I see life to create bondage in my life. And hopefully, again, for those of you who have been listening with us for quite a while, this has been the same for you with determining or going through that self-awareness. And notice just above a few minutes ago I said change. We constantly talk about change on this show. That's why we ask you to move your trash can, move your furniture, change the route you drive to work. It is very important because, again, seasons change, days change. We should not be the same person that, I'll say, I don't want to be the same person I was at age 21. Or even yesterday, I want to continually grow for the better. I want to learn more. I want to do better. I want to be better. You know, I want to work on me. I want to be the change that I want to see in this world. And there's a lot of change that needs to take part. And a lot of that comes from the habits that we allow or take upon our lives. So the lines are open. I'm going to go just a little bit further into what I have to say on habits before Teek comes on with us, but we do want to just challenge you all to get in on tonight's topic. The lines are open for those of you who are listening to us on the phone or by phone, and I am going to quickly, if you'll give me just a minute, check the chat line. Don't want to miss you all there, so if you do have something, just feel free to go ahead and select the number one. And for those of you who are listening by way of internet, remember you do have to be a registered follower in order for us to receive your comment or question. So let's move right along. And we were talking about change, and as I expressed, we often talk about or express how important or the importance of change. And I just want to throw this in. Someone, I was in the midst of a conversation with some people last night, and one of them decided to kind of slide in a comment that I instantly changed, that I changed overnight. And I heard it, but I chose not to respond because little do they know, I did not change overnight. It was a process. The habits that I had back then, some of them I still have, some of them I've worked through, and some of them I have to work through. But this person indicated that again, I changed overnight. And they didn't say it in a way that I changed for the better. They were basically kind of insinuating that I've changed for the worse. And again, I chose not to respond, which for me was a milestone because the inside wanted to. Internally, I wanted to retaliate. I wanted to express, I changed overnight because I no longer dance to the beat of your drum. I am me. I know who I am. I know what I want, and I know how to eliminate and incorporate. So, but the mere fact that I did not, that habit of responding and reacting to that negative output allowed me to see that I have changed. Some of my habits have gone to the wayside. So that was a huge milestone for me. And what this person, I feel, basically feels is that I've lost my mind. And as we've talked about on the show, once you start to change, once you start to go in a different direction away from the crowd, you will lose. There's a part of your circle that will diminish. People will just start to go away, and for two reasons, as Erica Murray, CEO to the Power of You, stated on that show, for two reasons. One, because they're not ready for change, and they don't know who you are. So either they're going to decide that we're going to do this together, and, yeah, I see some areas, may not be the same area, may not be the same habits, but I see some things that I, too, need to work on, so let's do this together. You help me, I'll help you. So you will, you've heard Tika and I say that before, that our circle is really, really small, really, really small, just a few people. And again, I think people do that because, number one, they don't like the change in you. They're not ready to change for many reasons. And you've become a person that they don't know. And that is so true because sometimes I really don't know myself, but I like the new Tammy. I like the person that I'm becoming. I like the habits that I am putting forth to produce in my life. I like the seeds that I'm planting, and I'm looking forward to seeing those seeds, to watering those seeds so that they can grow. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the new habits will produce. So thought that was interesting that this person thought that that I changed overnight. And again, I know that, and I hear this all the time, they say, you know, she's lost her mind. And in fact, I found my mind. I found it. I'm going to keep it. And I know where it's going. So, again, the fact that I was able to not respond was a huge, huge milestone for me. I wanted to touch a little bit about on, you know, the days it takes for a habit, for us to be conformed, I guess, to a habit, for us to incorporate a habit in our lives. And I've always heard that it takes about 21 days for a person or for something to become a habit. And I must say, I wish this was true for me, but it's not. I think it will take a lifetime, a daily, just a daily work, I should say, in order for me to really be successful in changing those habits. Because some of those habits come from, and we're going to talk a little bit about this as we go on into the show, but some of those habits are deep-rooted, meaning we have bought some things from childhood, and it kind of directs how we respond or what habits we take on. So it's not going to happen overnight. It's not always going to be 21 days. And I wanted to say that because I think if we put 21 days out there, if we say, okay, if I do this 21 days and say on the 25th day you mess up, then you may be more, you may decide that, hey, well, I can't do this. So rather than looking at this is going to become a habit in 21 days, maybe we should look at it as this is, I'm going to daily work at this habit. I'm going to, number one, acknowledge it. Number two, I'm going to decide what can I do to make it a positive habit for my life, and then I'm going to work on it daily. And another thing, can't say enough about writing those out, writing what your goals are, what you want out of your life, those kind of things, what habits you need to change, what habits you need to keep, and how you need to make them effective for your life. Can't say enough again about writing them down, because as we stated on the show, the more we write, or studies have shown that we obtain more when we personally write it out. I was reading an article last week about that very same thing again, but it was a study about they had college students type a report out, and they had college students write the report out. And so it was very interesting to see the outcome of that. So write these down and keep them somewhere. Post them in the bathroom, post them in your cars, at work. just make sure you have them written down. But going back to the 21 days, research shows that the amount of time varies greatly depending on how complex the activity is or the habit. So it does vary. 21 days is not a set rule. And again, if it works for you, great. Show us, tell us how that's working for you so that maybe we can change some things. But for me, I know 21 days just does not do it. I still have, as I've shared with you on this, on the show, that I still have trouble just remembering to creating a habit to take my vitamins every single day for a week. I will skip a day. So the 21 days certainly will not work for me. Maybe I need to write take your vitamins down. But research does show that that is not a set rule. Basically, it was just an experiment from, I shouldn't say an experiment, but it was just someone that is kind of a, that kind of person that writes about these things. That was his opinion on the 21 days. But again, it may work for some. Others show that it takes anywhere from 1 month to 8 months. So again, from 1 month to 8 months. So don't worry about the time. Focus on the need and the process, not the days. I know for me, after this show, I've decided that I'm not going to have a New Year's resolution, that I'm going to incorporate New Year habits. So I want to just write down some New Year habits that I want to just incorporate in my life, because habits are powerful, powerful factors in our lives. And it's something that if you're probably listening to the show thinking you've not really thought much about habits. I know I have not. Many things that we talk about on the show, Tika and I leave the show thinking we've never really thought about it. We've never really talked about it or determined how it affects our lives. So, you know, but habits are powerful factors in our lives because they are consistent. And often they're unconscious to us, unconscious patterns, just as the trash can, how unconsciously you just go back to where it was. Although you've moved it, after moving it, you go back there. So going there has become a habit to you. And habits constantly and daily, they express our character, and they oftentimes produce our effectiveness in life or ineffectiveness in life. I'm going to go just a little bit longer, and then Tika's going to come in, and then we'll just, again, the lines are open. But I want you to think about this before I turn it over to Tika. If you sow a thought, you will reap an action. If you sow an action, you will reap a habit. So our actions will create habits in our lives, in our life. Sow a habit and you reap character. You sow character and you reap your destiny. So again, you sow thoughts, you reap actions. You sow actions, you reap a habit. You sow a habit and you reap character, and your character becomes your destiny. So let's go back just a little bit about as to when I related or talked about the habits are powerful factors in our lives, because, again, they are consistent and often unconscious patterns. I want you to really stop for a minute and think about that. What things are you doing because of habit unconsciously? It could be, sometimes we don't even think about things as being habits. Procrastination. Impatience, being critical, selfish, negative. You know, those are the things that just weigh us down, that just creates bondage in our lives. And it doesn't have to be that way at all. It doesn't have to be that way. So that goes back to the 21-day rule. You know, if habits are unconscious patterns that constantly and daily express our character, then we can't have that 21-day rule. We can't set it as a rule to make it, because, again, I think if we set that as a rule, then we may feel like we're falling short of our accomplishments, and rather than focusing on the small steps, the small changes, the small habits that we're changing in our lives. So if the 21-day rule works for you, so be it. But if it doesn't, don't allow yourself to stop. Just keep going. Keep moving forward. I'm going to stop there. I came across an article that I want to share, but I'm going to stop there, and Tika's going to come in. Before I do that, Tika, if you don't mind, I'm going to just check the lines here. I want to remind you all that the lines are open if you want to. Now probably be a good time to, if you have anything to comment or on this part or have any questions on this part, probably a good time to get those in. And I'm going to check the chat again as well. So we're doing good there. All right, Tika, I'm going to turn it over to you, and I'll pick back up on a great scenario that I found. I'll start back there. Tika?
Can you hear me okay? Thank you, Tammy. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can now.
Okay, I'm sorry. I had the line turned down. Thank you all for tuning in. I want to, before I get into really breaking down how I went about finding, just doing through my research, I wanted to just mention over the weekend, it was just something so amazing. Over the weekend, I sat with my girls, and we decided to watch a reality show, but it was a reality show. I can't remember the exact name of it, but it was a reality show where all the competitors had to perform tattoos on different people, just showing their skill level and everything. So we probably started with maybe 20 contestants or 20 competitors, and it, you know, gradually broke it down. And we sat and watched several hours of it because it was, you know, just amazing. Some reality shows I don't mind watching, but I love, you know, anything artistic. So I wanted to see the art that came out in the different artists. But I noticed at the ends of the episode and throughout the episode, I noticed how, because these are all adults, every person participating in these type of competitions, they're all adults. But the greatest thing that I noticed in these adults was consistent blaming, consistent, you know, of course they're competing, but it's blaming and attacking and whining. And I also noticed that the ones who did the attacking, their behavior was very bully-like. And not only did they have a bully-like demeanor and behavior and personality about themselves, but they were so good in their act of bullying that they could go through and weed out, they would go through and find their prey, and they could weed out the weakest link.
Hey,
and
Tika.
Tika,
sorry to interrupt you, but you're very muffled out. I'm getting texts as well, but you sound like you are maybe you have your speaker on or something.
No, I don't have a speaker on. Let me turn the volume down and see if that'll make a difference. Can you hear me a little bit better now?
It's kind of hard to tell. Just keep going, and if not, I'll let you know.
Okay. Oh, wow. Well, I wound up getting a phone, you all, so I thought that would make an extreme difference because I was having phone issues on several of our shows. But I got a new phone, but it just seems like it's, I don't know. I'm going to try my best to do the show, and if I sound muffled, just let me know, Tammy. I do apologize for this, and I have a lot of informative information to give, so hopefully it comes through a little clearer. How's it sounding now?
It's still the same, but we're going to, for those of you who have texted me, if you'll just continue to let me know, on my end, it still sounds the same.
Okay, do I still have a muffled sound?
Let's just keep going and let's see how it gets.
Okay. What I noticed about the person doing the attacking is they would weed out the weakest link, and they would almost in a snake-like manner go for the weakest person, and they would attack that person through their words. They use their words to attack that person. They use their words to get into that person's mind. They use their words to intimidate the person and create a fear in the person when it really wasn't anything to fear. But it's amazing how that the bullies seem to get in the mind of the ones that they wanted to get in the mind of. And they even told them, I'm going to get in your mind. I'm going to play with you because I need to knock you out of the competition, and I need to weed out those who I see a talent in you. And so if I can go on and knock you out because you're weak in your mind, then I'll be fine. So I noticed that about the show. And I also noticed that rarely, you know, in us a lot of times, because we're talking about
patterns, because these are habitual behaviors that we do that are patterns. And, of course, bullying to me, that is a very strong pattern. That is a very strong habitual pattern that we have. And it's a learned pattern. It's something that was done to us, and we're a lot of times repeating what we have seen work. Not saying that it's good, because it's extremely defeating, but a lot of our behaviors, these are learned behaviors. These are things that we just do over time. And even when we realize that they're reckless, we just choose not to stop, or we'll even use the excuse. I hear a lot of people using the excuse of, well, this is just who I am, or this is just how I am, or this is just how I'm made, when that's farthest from the truth. This is a behavioral pattern that you learned, and it can, whatever can be learned can be unlearned. It takes longer to unlearn something, but in order to break something, you have to also recognize that it's an unhealthy behavioral pattern in order to unlearn it. But I, in seeing that, I also noticed that this is something that all of us do. Rarely do we accept our weakness or something weak in us or something that self-evaluation is needed to know in order for us to, it has to be exposed in us. A weakness in us, it has to be exposed. And self-evaluation exposes that weakness to us, because otherwise if it gets exposed through the world around you, it's going to come in a painful way. But if you take the time to do a self-evaluation, it is something that you realize, okay, I'm going to learn this lesson. I'm going to change this behavior. Once I change this behavior, it'll set an entire different life course for me. The blame, I made a list of habitual behaviors that we don't really claim or recognize a lot of times that they're habitual defeating behaviors, but they are. Also, through these learned behaviors, the environment, you know, we a lot of times blame it on the environment, our peers, our family, our parents. It doesn't matter where the behavior came from, who taught you, or how it was developed. It's a behavior that you possess. Even if you copy someone, it's a behavior that you possess, and it's a behavior that nobody can change. No one outside of you can change that behavior pattern in you. And so blame is an extremely defeating behavioral pattern. And so, like I said, if somebody is the cause of it, in order for the person to sit back and say, it's not me, that's refusing responsibility. Refusing responsibility, that's a behavioral pattern as well, because not only are they refusing responsibility on that, they walk through life refusing responsibility on several things. That's kind of connected to not committing to being responsible for your actions or your behaviors or what you're supposed to do or what you're not supposed to do. It's not accepting your part or your portion in the situation. Denial is a great one as well. Overspending, I have several, but like I said, rarely do we accept the truth and correct the problem and move forward. And in this, I don't know where I found this saying, but I found this saying years ago. But it's simple, beyond simple. It's no change equals no change. If I refuse to change, then I cannot expect to see anything changing. If I refuse to change my behavior, then there is no change in outcome, absolutely no change. Whatever stays the same on the right is going to stay the same on the left. No change equals no change. So if you don't change the person, you won't be able to change the outcome. When you pick up one end of the stick, you pick up the other end of the stick. Meaning that that's very simple as well. That's something that it sounds just repetitive or redundant, but it's the same exact meaning. When you pick up one end of the stick, you pick up the other end of the stick. When you do blank, I'm going to say blank because you fill in the blank. When you do blank, the consequences are you don't get to choose the results of the actions. That's what I mean when I said when you pick up one end of the stick, you pick up the other end. When you do a certain behavior, there's a consequence that follows it that you're not able to choose. We're able to choose the behavior or the pattern or the habitual act we want to do, we're able to choose that, but we're not able to choose the consequence that follows it. But that's like picking up a stick. When you pick up a stick, you pick up a stick. You pick up the front end and the back end. It all comes together, meaning this behavior, this habitual pattern, this habitual act is going to bring this consequence with it. So as the show is saying, what are you sowing? What are you sowing? Meaning reaping what you sow. If you sow discord, you reap, fill in the blank. If you sow kindness, you reap, fill in the blank. If you pick up the stick of lying, fill in the blank. What will be the outcome? If you pick up the stick of honesty, what will be the outcome? You fill in the blank. If you pick up the stick of overspending, what will be the outcome? If you pick up the stick of budgeting and balancing, what will be the outcome? That is, it's become a very simple pattern for me once I realize, oh, once I do this, I don't choose the outcome or I don't choose the consequence. That's going to naturally come with it. That's just the law of how things work. It's going to naturally come with it. But if you recognize the pattern, if you notice and know and recognize that this is a behavior, this is a destructive behavior, this is a behavior that it's not conducive, it's not teaching me anything, I'm not gaining anything by it, it's kind of setting up chaos. Once chaos develops, it goes through a process. Just like Tammy talked about our process of change. Changing overnight, that's impossible. We don't change overnight. It's a process. Once what you're going through becomes to a level of chaotic or chaos, it was a process that was led to equal up to that as well. And so I wanted to just give a little in-depth information on just a few patterns that I chose. I mentioned a few of them earlier, but one being blaming others. And that's something we consciously and unconsciously make judgments about other people. Blaming is also a way of devaluing others, and the end result causes the blamer to feel superior. Bullying goes kind of in that category as well. And it's the use of force of coercion. And it's definitely abuse, no matter how you want to look at it, and it's used and meant to intimidate others. And it's the bully will use behavior, individual behavior, to gain power over the person that he is trying to belittle. Criticism is the practice of judging the merits and the faults of something or someone in an intelligible or articulate way. We criticize. When you criticize, it doesn't necessarily mean to find fault, but it's used to show your disapproval of something. What a personal attack is likely to achieve is the individual's feeling rejected, not accepted alike, unfairly treated, degraded, dishonored, and humiliated. And that's the negative form of criticism, not constructive criticism, not coming out of love, but this is when the goal is to cause someone to feel devalued. Enabling is a unhealthy behavior, and it's the common theme of enabling in the latter sense is that the third parties take the responsibility, the blame, or they make accommodations for a person's harmful conduct, often with considering they have best intentions, but from the form of an insecurity which inhibits their actions. Laziness is also a unhealthy behavior as well, in its disinclination to activity or exertion despite having the ability to do so. It's just a refusal to do. And I have just a few more, just about three more, but these three more stood out to me more than anything, because a lot of times we don't realize that it's a learned behavior, or we don't realize that it's a behavior. Meaning, of course, if it's learned, it can be unlearned, but it's a behavior that's a pattern. It's a pattern that's habitual, and it's something that is very depleting on the individuals who are able to come to the realization that, you know what, is something wrong? Because a lot of times when if we step back and say, okay, something is wrong, when I don't recognize something, because a lot of times I do, I take constructive criticism pretty well. I've gotten better over time. It still stings. But if I hear the same thing several times, it makes me stop and think and realize that I have to self-evaluate myself. And then it's something that I also take to God. I pray about it, and I ask him, reveal to me, help me to see what it is in me that needs to change, or what is it in me that I'm not recognizing, because all I want to do is get better. I don't want to be the way I used to be. I definitely don't want to stay the same, but I want to grow. This next one is learned helplessness, and this is the condition of the human that has learned to behave in a helpless manner. We fail to respond through several opportunities from outside help. They avoid it, and they just accept the unpleasant circumstances by gaining positive rewards. The positive rewards are false to them. The positive rewards are a sense of falseness that they don't recognize and see that these outside people are trying to help. And so they're, in a sense, punishing themselves. So whenever they feel more punished, it's almost like a reward. So it's kind of twisted in a sense. This learned helplessness, it comes from not being able to see your outside sources creating help from you. And then over time, when you don't see a change in the outcome, your mindset and your perception creates the permanence in your mind that, you know what, this is staying. This is not going to change. And helpless, but then the helplessness turns into hopelessness. And so it just feels like an ongoing cycle, and you can't get out because you just bounce from one to the other, helpless and hopeless. Rationalization, that's making excuses, meaning it's an unconscious defense mechanism, which is perceived as controversial behaviors and feelings which are logically justified and explained in a rational and logical manner in order to avoid any true explanation of the truth. It's consciously tolerable, and it's even admirable and superior in some people. They make excuses. It's not right. It's not good. It's unhealthy. But that's something that, like I said, is consciously tolerable and consciously acceptable in a lot of ways. Victimization and re-victimization, that is something that is the process of being victimized or becoming a victim, where a lot of times we say a woman will kind of see herself getting in very unhealthy relationship patterns as an adult. But this is from a learned victimization that she had as a child. For example, if she was molested as a child, there was the re-victimization in the short term is often the result of risk factors that are already present. So re-victimization of adults who were previously sexually abused, they learned a maladaptive form of learning. So the initial abuse teaches inappropriate beliefs and behaviors that persist into adulthood. So by her being molested as a child, these things and thoughts and perceptions and beliefs in her, it was never brought or shown truth or shown light or shown love, but she just learned to adapt to it. And then when she went into her adult life, or when he went, I'm not going to say women, when he went into his adult life, he chose more relationships that created that same form of pain, because that, in his mind or in her mind, became normal. And then the last one I have is a victim mentality. We don't a lot of times see that as a behavioral problem or a pattern, but it is a pattern. And the worst part about it is a learned pattern. It's a relatively high frequency of negative emotional states such as anger, sadness, and fear. But like I said, worst of all, it is a learned personality trait, meaning it can be unlearned, but it's learned over time. And to have a victim mentality, it depends on the habitual thought process and attribution. The habitual thought process, meaning the limits of my language, means the limits of my world. That is the words that we possess, the way we think, the way we understand. That possesses my knowledge of what I know. That possesses my knowledge of what I understand. And so where there's limitation in my words and in my mind, there's limitation in my life. The victim, you become a victim based on the way of your thinking. And as we talked about in several of the shows, Romans 12 and 2, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. For someone that has a victim mentality, there is no renewing of the mind. The mind is stuck. And they tell themselves, like it says, it depends on the habitual thought process. Habitual is a pattern, it's constant, and it grows. The attribution meaning, when people make explanatory attributions to understand the world around them, the way they explain it to themselves, the way they see it, the way that they understand it. The interpersonal attribution is when your actions are motives for an action or questioning, you're needing to explain yourself. And so a lot of times, like I said, it's the way that they process it, it's the way that they perceive it, it's the way that they understand it. So an individual's attributional style or their explanatory style is their key, is the key to understanding why they respond to different ways based on their events. Because when you talk to someone who has a victim mentality, it may be one person that hears what they're going through and they're like, oh, well, I've been through worse. But you don't know how their brain is processing it, how they understand it, how they perceive it, what taught them to have that form and that way of thinking. Also, I found in the victim mentality, the victim mentality may also manifest itself in a range of different behaviors, a different ways of thinking. And so victim mentality, it's like four parts of it, because they blame. They blame others for the situation that was created. They either blame themselves or they blame the others who are in it, but they don't take part or responsibility in the fact that they significantly contributed to what took place. Not saying every situation, but this is just some scenarios. Usually they believe that other people are fundamentally luckier than they. They always have a whining attitude. They also gain short pleasure in telling their story, so feeling sorry for themselves but eliciting pity from other people. So people with a victim mentality may develop a convincing and sophisticated argument that supports their ideas, that supports what they're talking about, that supports their life that they created. And a lot of times their life is pretty bad, but it grows. It grows, and it has compounded information. And not only does it have compounded information, like I said, since this is a learned behavior, this is compounded growth that feels out of control. And so in a sense, they literally do believe without a shadow of doubt that they are stuck. They are stuck. This is my life. And that's also attached with the victimization and the re-victimization. I can't get out. I'm helpless and I'm hopeless. And so through that, there's several areas of emotions that come along with this as well. They're extremely negative. They have a general tendency to focus on the bad rather than the good. So a glass that's half full will always appear to be half empty to them, because that's the way their mind has processed that. They're extremely self-absorbed. They're unable to consider the situation from the viewpoint of others. They're extremely defensive. So in a conversation that's non-existent on blaming them for something, they will always correspond in being accused. They have problems with creating unnecessary conflict. So they don't understand that this is, you're explaining something and it's really not about them, or you're just trying to get a simple answer. You kind of have a conversation. No matter what, their defenses are always up. Their guns are always up. Their sword is always up. Their shield is always up. They're extremely defensive. They categorize. They tend to divide people in either you good or bad. There's no gray zone. They don't see in between that. They're unadventurous, meaning they exaggerate the importance and the likelihood of anything negative coming out. Just like I said in the beginning, they're extremely negative. They tend to be stubborn because of the with the rejection of suggestions on people trying to help them. So they're stubborn in the way of safety, tell them, well, I can help you get out, or I can just tell you ways to, say you're trying to tell somebody, come and go to church with me, or come and meet some of my friends, or come, let's sign up for this class, let's do something, because you're really just trying to get them out of that funk of something that they're in. They reject it no matter what. So that, in that sense, they're extremely stubborn, and they're self-abasing. They put themselves down further than other people do. So this one right here I found to be extremely, extremely necessary to share, just because, of, honestly, if I can be transparent, I possessed that mentality for a long time. And I'm not so far removed that I think, okay, well, that ain't me no more. But I realize and recognize that a part of me and a lot of the things that I wind up discovering in this. But I wanted to share it just meaning that it is something that it was learned so it can be unlearned. But it's because I have a conscious effort to unlearn everything that was unhealthy about me, unlearn everything that didn't teach me, that wasn't pleasing, that didn't feel good, that didn't constantly produce good things. And if you're not constantly seeing good things produced, if you're seeing bad things produced and your behavior is negative. You know, when I started hearing a lot of people tell me that I was defensive, even when a stranger could talk to me for a few minutes and see that I was defensive, I think that was the trigger when I talked to someone for a few minutes, and I don't remember what took place or what I said. But it was a guy, I think he was delivering something. I don't know where it was, but he was delivering something. And we had a little brief conversation, and I don't know what he said, but I didn't realize I lashed out at him until after he was like, sorry, you don't have to get so defensive. I was just asking you this, or I was just saying this. When I heard basically a complete stranger tell me, you don't have to be so defensive. You don't have to, you know, kind of calm down, get your guards down. When I heard that, it made me stop and say, maybe the last 10 people told me was something right. Maybe there's some truth in that, because it wasn't like I heard it one or two times or even three times to take heart to it. It was something that, it was a complete stranger basically telling me something that I heard from people who know me. And it stung when I heard them say that, but I just didn't think I was defensive. I'm thinking, well, I'm talking and I'm growing and I'm learning and I'm trying to do better. And why would you continue to criticize me? They weren't criticizing me. They were telling me something that they saw in me that was unhealthy. And so with them being so critical, like I said, they constantly have their defenses up. And so no matter what, they think that you're demeaning them and putting down them as a person and insult. They feel that you're insulting the person. You're talking about the behavior, but they feel that you're attacking my character. And so they feel the need to just constantly lash back out at you. But these are just some of the behavioral patterns that I wanted to just address, because, like I said, these are behavioral patterns. And so in all of these behavioral patterns, these are all something that can be broken. It can't just be broken by just, well, I'm not going to say what it can't do. Maybe some of you can just say, well, you know what, I'm going to stop that tomorrow. And if you can do that, you are an amazing person. But I'm not the type of person that just says, well, you know what, I'm going to stop that tomorrow. It was a process for me. But it was a process of me realizing that I was a victor and not a victim. I had to change the way I saw me. I had to change the way I saw my familiar environment. I had to change the way I remember my past that led up to me being in this place. I had to change all of that. It wasn't one thing that needed changing. It was several areas in my life that needed changing. I had to change my walk. I had to change my talk. I had to change my thoughts. So this is something that me and Tammy share in all of our shows. It's a process. Tammy's not changing overnight. I'm not changing overnight. We don't expect no one to change overnight, but we do know that when you desire to have change, you won't be the same person today that you were a year ago, and you will not be the same person next year that you are today. So I'm turning it back over to you, Tammy.
Thank you, Tika. We're not going to keep you very long. I do want to share just one last thing that I came across an article, and this is an article where this is a psychologist, Kimira Lamis, and she has a theory about emotional habits. And this particular night, this article came from her sharing her theory at the dinner table with her family, which consists of children. And so her theory basically is that people, we as a people, as we grow up, we develop a habit of responding to whatever happens to us. So we develop a habit of responding to life or situations or new things. We have a habit of responding to those things from the same emotional place. So overall, what she's saying in general is that most people, and these are the three emotional places, out of fear, grief, or anger. So her theory is again, that for the most part, as we grow up, as we develop, as we go through things, that we will learn or develop a habit of responding out of one primary emotional place, basically. It doesn't mean that you just have one, but there's one primary, typically, that she believes. So over time, again, she believes that this happens. And in the gist of sharing this with her family, her 10-year-old wanted to know, where do I fit in here? And this allowed the mother to express, well, psychologist mother to express what she thought each family member's base emotional place, where they responded to new happenings or to life. So as she explained to the 10-year-old, she advised her that her base was of fear, basically saying that she responds to life out of fear. And I thought this was interesting, particularly with it being fear, grief, and anger. So this 10-year-old, what the mother is saying is that, for instance, she gave her some examples, and she says, you know, if you get a 96 on a math test, you are immediately afraid that your grades are failing and that you no longer are really good in math. Now, a lot of people get a 96 and be okay. That's the first thing I thought. But this must be a child who probably makes hundreds and you know, overachiever. But she explained to the child, you know, in this manner that, or if she leaves her book at school, then she is instantly afraid that her teacher is going to be upset with her. Or if her tummy hurts just a little, could be something that she ate, that she instantly fears that, oh, I'm getting sick. So that's how she explained to one of the children who asked and generated this conversation. A second child, she believed was, her base was out of grief, and that's how she responded to life, out of grief. And for an example, she gave, you can wake up and half an hour later on the weekend, and you are devastated because you think that half your day is gone, although you just woke up, you know, 30 minutes late on weekend. So this is the type of person that basically sees the glass as half empty rather than half full. So a third child, and this one was really interesting to me, this was a smaller child, and she explained to him that he responds out of anger. And he began to cry, probably because of the age. He began to cry saying that he did not want to be that one, basically. And she responded, and you don't have to be. And that's what this show is about tonight. If you don't remember anything else, just remember this. Whatever it is, if you figure it out later, if you don't know tonight, when you figure it out, just remember, you don't have to be that. You don't have to be. It is a choice. It is a decision. So you do not have to be that. But she went on to explain to this little one why she thought, you know, he responded to life out of anger. And she gave, you know, the most profound example for a six-year-old. She went on to say, if you ask if you can watch a movie and I respond yes in about an hour, your response, you get angry and you go yelp, you make the faces, so to speak, rather than saying, she explained that another choice to that is you can just say, hooray, I can watch a movie in an hour. So She explained that very delicately to each child based on their primary base. And this is why, again, self-awareness is so important. Because how can we make things work for us? How can we make our seeds work? How can we know how much water? You know, it's kind of like when you water those seeds. Some of them, you have to know what to put where, you know, when, and things like that. So self-awareness is about that. How can we make our habits work for us? Because as we explained earlier, you know, these are things that affect, they affect us effectively or ineffective in our lives. So they're either or. And again, that brings us back to self-awareness and why it's so important to know, acknowledge, and accept. Don't be so hard on yourself. If you're where you are, so be it. Cool. Now, where do you want to go? Where do you want to be? What seeds, what habits do you want to plant in order to move forward? So let's kind of look at this same scenario again, but we're going to revisit it on the positive aspect or create a positive solution as to how they could, these children could have responded or how they can take a new seed and plant it, dealing with the fear. Let's start with her leaving her book. This is a 10-year-old. If she left her book at school, then another way to look at it is, I am someone who cares about her work. I care about my work. And now what I can do in order to make this work is I can call a friend, and she can give me what I need out of the book rather than, you know, again, being so hard on yourself. And next time, hopefully it will be different. But that comes back to that time frame as well, 24 days, or being so hard to think we're never going to slip up on that habit, because that's when you allow yourself to stop. And you got to focus on what changes I've made, the growth that I see in myself. Don't worry about other people. Don't worry about how they're seeing you or what they're doing in your life. But, you know, focus on those things. So just a great example. And it's important to also know that all these things come from, whether you're responding from anger, fear, or grief, all of these things come from a true desire, I feel. They come from a true desire that you have. And in order to determine that desire, again, self-awareness. And now, if you go through that self-awareness process, you are more familiar or in tune with your desires, and you know what habits to plant, what habits to eliminate. It allows you to know your desires and move forward, you know, in life. So thought that was a very interesting story. Want to share just a few things to help you get through, and some of these will be just, you know, repeating some things, but know what you want, basically. You know, if you can, try to visualize your habit. Know what you want. Remind yourself, again, write them down everywhere. Post them everywhere. Make a list of your new habits, the habits you want to implement. Example, if you want to quit smoking, write down what are the benefits for stopping the smoking. It could be you save money, better health. So write these things down, you know, list the positive things that it will create. Commit to the habit. If you want to change, remember, it doesn't happen overnight, and you do have to work at it. Go for consistency. You know, work daily. Wake up daily, you know, telling yourself, reminding yourself. That's why it comes back to writing those things down, so that you can work towards consistency. You can, you know, be aware daily and put your mind to it, put your actions to it. So we can do that by writing them down. Just a few more. Consult with a friend. Share what you're doing. Share what you're working on. And this comes back to creating a circle and knowing, having at least two people that you can call upon to help you. So, you know, just have that friend in place and let them know what you're doing, so that when you're having those rough spots, it's not so difficult for you. You have someone to call. And choose today, basically. And we'll end with that. Choose today. Don't worry about yesterday. Don't worry about what you did yesterday. Don't worry about tomorrow. Choose today. How can I move forward? How can I make this work today? So very, very, very important. The lines are open. We don't want to leave without allowing anyone to express, you know, maybe you have some suggestions. Maybe you have some habits that you've worked through. Maybe you've not really thought about the habits that you have in your life. And, again, just keep in mind with the trash can, how often you go back to the trash can after you've moved it. If you've not tried this exercise, please do. Try it with your children. Let them move it and let them see how many times they go back there. If they have trash cans in their room, allow them to move that trash can because, again, unconscious patterns is what habits are. So if we do these things unconsciously sometimes, then we need to know we need to create some good habits. We need to create those things that bring forth good fruit in our lives. We need to take control of our destiny. And, again, all those things that I went over with about if you, you know, what we reap, you sow a thought and you sow an action, you know, just we need to revisit those. Again, write these things down and post them around and be mindful of what character you are possessing that will get you to your destiny and eliminate, process of elimination. And I'm talking about people as well. We need to stop being so caught up in relationships that do not work for us. We just need to stop because it's going to hinder your growth. It doesn't mean you don't have to you don't love this person, but process of elimination. And I mean people, places, and things, because these things will help create, just as the lady, the psychologist who says, you know, as we grow up, we take upon these things and they become habits. So if you continue to allow things and people and places to dictate who you are and your habits, you're going to continue the road that you're on. I feel that you won't personally grow until you get to a point of, again, self-awareness and really recognizing where you are, who you are, and what needs to change. So the lines are open again. For those of you who are listening, I am going to check the chat line once more. We hope that this night has just been enlightening for you. We hope that you will be able to determine some of the positive habits that you've incorporated in your life and that you can work at perfecting. We also hope that you see some areas that you need to grow and eliminate and determine where to go from here, because tomorrow is what we are, you know, we're wanting to produce those fruit. We want to see those seeds grow. There's nothing like planting something and seeing it produce and seeing the fruit produce. So one more time, the lines are open before we go. I see you guys out there. So if you do have a question, if you do have a comment, again, Tika and I welcome them because we come to feed you, but we're also feeding ourselves every Monday. But when you come in with your questions and your comments, it helps to feed us more and other listeners as well. You will not believe the number of calls that come after the show with comments and questions about, we know, what others have shared. So if not, I'm going to check the chat line once more. Tika, do you have anything before we close it?
I did. I just wanted to discuss, because you mentioned, you know, the things that you're surrounded by. What are you putting in your body and where are you putting your body? So Tammy had talked about, you know, your surroundings, the things that surround you, the people that surround you, and then the things that you put into your body as well. You got to evaluate what you're putting inside your body. But I also find this a good time to just tell you or share with you, take the time to go into a period of solitude. And solitude meaning this is a healthy solitude. This is a solitude that you just detach from the things and from your surroundings and from the areas of your life that are not good for you and that are not healthy and that are not feeding you. Detach from so much TV. I mean, when you're bored and when life is not growing or when you just feel, well, things aren't progressing or things aren't evolving, it doesn't mean that you need more cable channels. It doesn't mean that you need more stuff to do. It means that it's time to detach. Detach, pull away from those things that are just keeping you busy to be busy. I intentionally pull back from watching a lot of TV because there's times that I've sat and watched TV 2 and 3 hours and I've had to ask myself, wait, what is this doing for me? Is this feeding me? Is this adding to my life? Or did I just give 3 hours away for no reason? And so this is something that I intentionally do for me because it's healthy for me. The things that you detach from, you will find that you have more time, but that's not just more time to use in an idle way. I've heard an idle mind is a devil's workshop. So it's not that this form of solitude is going to give you an idle mind. You're going to feel that mind filled with solitude. You're going to fill it back up with something, but something healthy, something positive, something productive. So this time of solitude is not just you spending time just with you. No, you're taking the time to detach, to connect with your maker. You're self-evaluating yourself through the eyes, not just through the eyes of your social environment, but you're seeing yourself through your own eyes, through your realistic eyes. You're recognizing yourself with your own voice, not through the voice of others, but with your voice. And you're recognizing and learning yourself through your words, not the words of others, not you repeating what someone has said about you, but you're learning you through your words, through your eyes, through your emotions, through your spirit. So this takes the time when you detach. You're taking the time to get to know you. That's the only way self-evaluation is possible. You're taking the time to get to know you. And so if you have to take the time to be still long enough to be able to hear what's going on inside of you. You have to take the time to be with you. You can't be afraid to be alone with just you. If you've been running or not wanting to deal with the loudness that's in your head because you're screaming coming from the inside. You've been staying busy, extremely busy, staying around crowds or staying involved and compounded with work or staying compounded with drama or staying compounded with stuff because you don't want to take the time to stop and be still and deal with you. There's something in there that's screaming. There's a voice in there that's screaming. So it's time to slow down. Get alone with you and just listen. Stop saturating yourself with so many things that do not grow you. You got to take the time to get alone and listen to you. And if you don't want to, if it's too hard to take the time to get alone to be with you, then no one else will want to take the time to be alone with you. So you have to know you. Once you take the time to really get to know you, then you recognize the things that you like or the things that you're good at or the things that you shouldn't do or the things that you shouldn't allow coming into your life, the things that you shouldn't allow yourself to look at, the things that you shouldn't allow yourself to be involved in, the things that you won't accept from other people, the things that you won't accept from your outside circumstances, your outside peers, or even your outside family. Self-evaluation teaches you who you are, and it helps you set up a guideline and a set of boundaries and a realistic path for yourself because you're connecting with you. And you're connecting with you not because you're just a person, but you're more than a person. You're more than flesh and blood. You're spirit as well. So like I said, you connect to your spirit man, but it's also you connecting with your maker as well. Self-evaluation is connect with your maker. It's listen to your creator. Your creator is letting you know the things in you that need to be weeded out, lifted out, and also what needs to be brought back in. And so connecting with your spirit, man, and connecting with your spirit, God also allows you to recognize what light you should follow, which light is real light, which light is false light, which light is not light at all. That's something that you will not be able to discern unless you take the time to pull away from everything, the clutter, the mess, the noise, the loudness, the unhealthy relationships, the unhealthy surrounding, all the noise. Move all the noise from you and get some time with yourself and with your maker, because it's time to get to know you. And once you know you and you can start on this type of a solid foundation, the next step that you take out, you will, your discerning qualities will be so much greater, so much stronger, because you took the time to be still and recognize God.
Thank you, Tika. Just a quick, to tell you a little bit about next week's show. This way, if you know someone, the holidays are become, you know, really difficult for people who have lost a loved one, and we've all lost someone, you know, that we love. They've gone on. But if you know someone that is going through it, or tend to go through it around the holiday times, because it gets a little bit difficult, as you know, the holidays, especially Christmas. So share next week's show for sure, because we don't want to leave people alone and out there. I know this even for me, this will be a very difficult show, as I remember, you know, my loved ones. I've shared with you how my grandmother died. I was in the fifth grade, and I daily, I don't think it's ever a day that goes by that I don't think about what losing her did to me, and what life would have been like had she stayed around just a little bit longer. So, you know, again, if you know someone that has or that is going through it, you know, want to come on and talk about it. We do have some people that have committed to coming on to share how they are getting through it and things like that. So if you know someone, send them our way, and we hope that you will join in as well to be a support for those people who, you know, will be grieving and in many cases will feel very alone at this time. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and end the show. Thank you all. A special, special thanks. I just don't want to forget those of you who consistently come back Monday after Monday after Monday, and you have been since the very, very beginning. I see Latasha still out there. I see Diane still out there. And, again, you guys have just been with us consistently from day one. So thank you, and you hang in there, even though you're on Eastern Standard Time. So much, much, just much, much appreciation to you. Just really want to reiterate that. So thank you for listening to the Butterfly Evolution Show. We hope that you have a Butterfly Evolution Week. We hope that you wake up tomorrow and ready to plant new seeds, new habits. And as always, again, thank you for tuning into the Butterfly Evolution Show. Teek and I really, just really thank you. So have a wonderful, wonderful night.